So right now, there is probably a 22-year-old sitting in this like pristine home office
Oh,
somewhere.
definitely, with the perfect minimalist background.
Exactly. And they're looking into this high-end camera, just calmly promising you $10,000 a month in passive AI income.
Right.
And, they flash a screenshot of a Stripe dashboard just overflowing with payments, and they're telling you that you're early, the opportunity is massive. And you don't even need any prior experience.
Yeah, the classic anyone can do this pitch.
Right. But I mean, what if the only way they actually make that $10,000 is by selling you the promise that you can too?
That is the big question.
Like, who is actually getting rich in this system?
Honestly, it is the defining technological question of our current decade. I mean, the wealth generation is very real. But the mechanics of where that money is coming from and who is ultimately paying for it are usually hidden completely out of frame.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we are pulling back the curtain on today. So, welcome to the deep dive, everyone. We are digging into a really fascinating 2026 special booklet today.
Yeah, the AI gold rush. Why so many people are selling AI wealth and what they're really selling.
Right. And the author, Patrick Thomas, brings this really refreshing perspective to the whole thing. I mean, he isn't some Silicon Valley insider or a tech guru,
Far from it, actually.
Yeah.
He is a military veteran and a facilities management professional, and he writes this AI guide series specifically to help everyday people use these tools in like practical ways.
Which gives him the perfect vantage point, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he evaluates this massive hype-driven industry from the outside. He applies this intense critical thinking to deconstruct the modern get-rich-quick machine. And, he isn't anti-AI at all.
Right, he uses it himself.
Exactly. He is just highly skeptical of the ecosystem that has sprouted up to basically monetize the panic and the excitement surrounding it.
Okay, let's unpack this, because our mission today is to tear down the facade of that pristine home office,
Yeah.
and understand the psychological traps that catch incredibly smart people.
And to discover where the genuine value of AI actually lies for you.
Yes. But to understand the reality of this boom, we really first have to look closely at the fantasy being sold. And Thomas introduces us to two very relatable personas in the book.
Right, Sarah and Mark.
Yeah, so first, there's Sarah. She's 34, works in hospital administration, has a mortgage, two kids, and she is just, looking for some financial breathing room.
A very normal situation.
Totally normal. She isn't trying to buy a Lamborghini or anything. She just feels permanently behind the economic curve.
Yeah. And then there is Mark, who is an IT support worker, and he is a bit more of an action taker, I guess you could say.
Right. And both Sarah and Mark are constantly targeted by these identical social media promises.
Oh, the algorithm knows exactly what they want.
It's ruthless. It feeds them videos about starting faceless YouTube channels that supposedly generate like $8,000 a month, or using AI to churn out Kindle ebooks for passive income while they sleep.
Right, they are being pitched this completely frictionless path to wealth.
Frictionless is the perfect word for it. And Mark actually tries it. The breakdown of his experience in the book is incredibly telling.
It really is.
So he watches this tutorial claiming AI can generate a publishable Kindle ebook in an hour. So he sits down, he opens ChatGPT, and has it generate a 10-chapter self-help book.
Called the 5 a.m. mindset, right?
Yes, the 5 a.m. mindset. He uses Canva to throw together a quick cover, publishes it on Amazon. The whole process takes him maybe 4 hours.
About for a whole book.
Right, and he repeats this three more times. But at the end of the month, his grand total earnings are exactly $4.17.
Ouch. A brutal collision with reality.
Literally $4.
Because, I mean, the technology did exactly what was promised. It wrote a book rapidly, but the technology cannot make anyone actually care about the book.
Exactly.
It can't manufacture human attention or desire. But Mark, he assumes he missed a step. So he goes back to the original video creator's comments to ask what went wrong.
And of course, the creator happily replies.
Oh, very happily. He says he covers all the advanced marketing and algorithm secrets in his full masterclass. The link is in the bio, and the course cost $197.
So Mark is just standing there with his $4.17, realizing the guy who told him this would be so easy is now asking him for $200 to explain why it was actually hard.
Right. What's fascinating here is the sheer amount of unseen labor and skill required to run the creator's actual business.
Yeah, explain that.
Well, the product being sold to Mark is this low-effort automated dream, but the machine selling that dream is a highly sophisticated marketing engine. Thomas calls this the funnel.
Okay, let's break down the mechanics of this funnel because it relies so heavily on consumer psychology. It always starts with a free gift, right?
Yes, the lead magnet.
Like a downloadable AI toolkit or a prompt guide. And all you have to do is hand over your email address.
And that initial exchange is crucial. It operates on this principle of micro-commitments. By giving your email, you are making a tiny psychological investment. You're basically raising your hand and saying, I am interested in this identity.
That makes sense.
Plus, social media algorithms are incredibly volatile. A creator could be banned tomorrow or the algorithm could shift. But an email list, that is an owned asset.
Right, they control it.
Once they have your inbox, they completely control the distribution.
You know, it's really like a Trojan horse. It feels like this completely fair, innocent trade your email for a helpful little guide. So it just gets right past your mental defense.
Exactly.
But once it is inside, it opens up into this highly engineered automated sequence designed to shift you from, you know, a casual observer into the primary product.
Yeah, and that sequence is meticulously designed to build parasocial trust. You start getting these emails that feel super personal.
Oh, the ones with the vulnerable stories.
Yes. The creator shares a vulnerable story about their own struggles before they, quote unquote, discovered the system. And once that trust is established, they introduce the baseline product,
which is the $197 course Mark was offered.
Exactly. And from there, it usually leads to even more expensive upsells, like private coaching or masterminds.
Okay, hold on though. I feel like we're painting all these creators as just pure scammers. But isn't it possible some of these courses are actually teaching valuable AI skills? I mean, learning how to use these tools properly does require some education, right?
Oh, that is a very important distinction, and Thomas addresses it carefully in the book. No, they are not all malicious scammers.
Okay.
Many of these AI courses do provide real value. They consolidate information, they save people hours of trial and error, and they teach legitimate technical skills.
Right. So what's the problem then?
The issue the book highlights isn't necessarily fraud. It is the extreme mathematical asymmetry of the business model.
The asymmetry. Explain that, because Thomas uses the 1848 California gold rush to illustrate this. And the math honestly blew my mind.
It's a great analogy. So in 1848, tens of thousands of people abandoned their livelihoods to travel west, hoping to strike it rich in the rivers of California.
Right.
But historical data shows the most reliable generational fortunes weren't made by the miners digging in the dirt.
They were made by the merchants.
Exactly. The people selling the picks, the shovels, the boots, and the tents.
The shovel sellers.
Yes. And if you look at the fundamental mathematics of those two models, the difference is just staggering. The miner's income is tied to physical labor, finite resources, and sheer luck.
Right. They have to actually find the gold.
Yeah. But the merchant's income is tied only to the belief that gold exists.
Mm.
As long as the masses believe there is wealth to be found, an endless supply of customers will walk into the hardware store.
Wow. So when we apply that to our AI scenario, Mark, writing his Kindle ebooks, is the miner.
He is limited by how many books he can produce, how many niches he can find, and, you know, the whims of the Amazon search algorithm. Even with AI speeding up his writing, his ceiling is totally capped.
But the course creator is the merchant. And the merchant ceiling is functionally infinite because of digital leverage.
Okay. Break down the math Thomas uses for that.
Yeah. So imagine a creator who has built an email list of 40,000 people through that Trojan horse funnel we talked about.
Okay, 40,000.
If just 1% of that list buys a $297 course in a single month, that creator generates over $118,000.
Over $100,000. In 1 month.
In 1 month. From a digital product they only had to record and upload once.
That is insane. So the market for teaching wealth never saturates because the human desire for financial freedom is just a renewable resource.
But here is my question. If the shovel sellers hold all the structural advantages and the actual lining is so incredibly difficult, how do they convince so many intelligent people that mining is a guaranteed win? We see these dashboard screenshots everywhere. How do they manufacture that level of certainty?
Well, they use numbers that look like irrefutable facts, but are actually optical illusions.
Optical illusions.
Yeah. The book dives deeply into a concept called survivorship bias. It's best understood through the famous story of military aircraft in World War II.
Okay, let's hear it.
So the Allied forces had a massive problem. Their bomber planes were getting shot down at an alarming rate.
So they brought in statisticians to figure out how to armor the planes.
Right. The military leadership looked at the bomber planes returning from combat missions. They mapped out all the bullet holes on these returning aircraft, and they noticed the damage was heavily concentrated on the wings and the fuselage.
Makes sense.
So the logical conclusion was to add heavy armor to those specific areas to protect future flights. But a brilliant statistician named Abraham Wald stopped them.
Wait, let me think about this. If the planes returning had bullet holes in the wings, that means the wings could take a hit and the plane would still fly.
Yes.
So by reinforcing the bullet holes, they were actually protecting the parts of the plane that didn't cause crashes.
You've got it. Wald realized they were only looking at the survivors. The bullet holes on the returning planes simply indicated where a bomber could take a hit and survive.
Wow.
The planes that were shot down, the ones sitting at the bottom of the ocean, were the ones hit in the engines and the cockpit. But those planes weren't on the runway to be counted. The most critical data was structurally invisible.
That makes total sense. And the internet, especially social media, is basically a massive machine for producing survivorship bias.
Absolutely.
We only ever see the planes that make it back to the runway. We see the creator posting the video about making $10,000 a month. What we don't see are the thousands of failed, faceless YouTube channels that never reached 1,000 subscribers.
They just fade into the digital void.
Right. Nobody posts a highly edited, trending video saying, "I tried this side hustle for 8 months, lost sleep, and made absolutely nothing."
The failures are structurally invisible. And Thomas points out that even the success stories we do see are heavily distorted because people constantly confuse revenue with profit.
Yeah, this part of the source material is crucial. I mean, a massive number on a screen does not mean that money went to someone's bank account.
Not at all. Thomas provides this brilliant breakdown of three different businesses, all generating $100,000 a month in top-line revenue.
Okay, let's look at them.
The first business relies on organic traffic and has incredibly low overhead. The owner takes home $80,000 in pure profit. That is the dream being sold.
80 grand profit. Okay, but business number two operates entirely differently.
Very differently. Business number two relies heavily on paid advertising. They might spend $80,000 a month on Facebook and Google ads just to generate that $100,000 in revenue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So after software costs and taxes, they only take home maybe $15,000 or $20,000, which is still a great income, but a massive departure from the screenshots implication.
Yeah. 80 grand versus 20 grand is huge. And the third business is an agency model, right?
Right. The agency might have a team of subcontractors, expensive enterprise software subscriptions, and super high client acquisition costs.
Okay.
They might spend $95,000 to generate that $100,000. The owner is taking home $5,000, dealing with massive stress, and the business is barely surviving.
Yet all three of those businesses can post the exact same Stripe screenshot showing $100,000 in 30 days.
Exactly. The screenshot is a marketing tool. It is not a financial disclosure. It deliberately omits all the vital variables, the massive ad spend, the starting capital, the years of pre-existing skills, and the hidden risks.
Which really brings up an inherent flaw in the entire ecosystem. There is no central database for the truth. So what does this all mean for you? If we can't trust the dashboard screenshots, what is the one number we actually need to know but can never find?
The failure rate. And it simply doesn't exist as a public metric.
The failure rate.
Right. Nobody tracks the thousands of people who bought the course, tried the methods, and earned nothing. The creators certainly have no incentive to publish that data.
No, definitely not.
So the consumer is making a financial decision in an incredibly skewed data environment, surrounded only by the absolute best case scenarios.
But, you know, here's what I find so interesting about human behavior. Even when we know rationally that people exaggerate on the internet, thousands of highly intelligent, educated people still pull out their credit cards at midnight to buy these programs.
Oh, yeah.
Why does intelligence fail to protect us here?
Because the marketing is targeting our biology, not our logic.
Our biology.
Yeah. Thomas argues that high intelligence often just gives you the mental horsepower to rationalize a decision you have already made emotionally. And the architecture of this emotional manipulation relies on what the book calls the double bind.
And this double bind feels entirely unique to the current AI boom compared to, like, past trends.
It is entirely unique. If you look at previous financial gold rushes, like, say, the cryptocurrency boom of 2021 or the real estate flipping craze, the marketing primarily sold hope.
Right. It sold the upside.
Exactly. The underlying message was, if you don't do this, you'll miss out on buying a yacht. it appealed to greed, but AI marketing weaponizes hope and fear simultaneously.
So the message shifts from you can get rich to automated wealth is easy, but T, if you don't learn this system right now, AI is going to take your job, render your skills obsolete, and you will go economically extinct.
Precisely. By tying the opportunity to your very survival in the modern workforce, it frames a highly speculative purchase as a necessary act of professional self-defense. You are no longer buying a course just to get ahead. You are buying it to prevent yourself from falling permanently behind. And when the brain senses a threat to its livelihood, the amygdala takes over. Critical thinking is just bypassed in favor of immediate action.
And then they layer on what Thomas calls the aesthetics of authority. This was such a fascinating concept in the booklet.
It really is.
The idea is that traditional markers of credibility like university degrees or professional licenses have been entirely replaced by visual cues on video.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture of evolutionary psychology, the human brain is just a pattern-matching machine. Yeah. It relies on heuristics or mental shortcuts to quickly assess who to trust.
Right.
In the digital space, creators hack those heuristics. When we see the confident posture, the perfectly lit room, the crisp audio from a Shure microphone, and a slick lower third graphic with a title like AI Systems Architect,
our brain immediately pattern matches those aesthetics as competence. You know, it reminds me of a Hollywood movie set. From the front through the camera lens, it looks like a solid, impenetrable bank building of success. You just trust it instinctively.
Yeah, perfect analogy.
But if you walk around to the back of the set, you realize it's literally just plywood and 2x4s held up by sandbags, a ring light, and a leased camera.
Combine that manufactured authority with artificial scarcity, like a countdown timer ticking down to midnight, or a banner saying only 4 spots left at this price, and the psychological trap is totally sprung.
The urgency prevents the pause of reflection.
Yes. The buyer truly believes they are securing their future.
So the trap works. You've been funneled. You've seen the skewed survivorship numbers. Your psychology has been hacked by the double bind of hope and fear, and you click purchase. What actually happens next? Like, do people actually build the businesses they were promised?
Well, this leads to perhaps the most insidious part of the entire ecosystem. Thomas refers to it as the opportunity loop.
The opportunity loop. Okay.
To understand it, let's look at what happens to Mark after his $4 Kindle failure.
Right. Mark buys the $197 course because he thinks he's missing the marketing secret. Does the course help him sell his AI mindset book?
Not really. He might sell a few more copies, but he quickly discovers that the market for low-effort, AI-generated self-help books is, unsurprisingly, completely saturated.
Yeah, shocker.
However, Mark starts doing something else. He starts documenting his attempts, his failures, and his learning process on a new YouTube channel. He just casually talks about trying to make money with AI.
And because AI is a trending topic, the algorithm starts pushing his videos.
Exactly. He accidentally taps into the massive demand for AI content. He gains 4,000 subscribers in a few months.
Wow.
Suddenly, people are in his comments section asking him how he uses the tools and if he offers one-on-one coaching.
Wait, coaching?
Yeah. And Mark, who is barely breaking even on his actual publishing business, realizes there is a demand for his perceived expertise. So he sets up a consulting link and starts charging $97 for hourly coaching calls about digital publishing.
It sounds like a carnival game where you realize the game is rigged, so the only way to win the giant teddy bear is to get a job running the booth and charge other people to play.
That is precisely the dynamic. Mark enters the loop. He makes significantly more money from a few coaching calls than he ever did from selling books to real consumers.
That's crazy.
The ecosystem naturally rewards people for creating content about making money, rather than building standalone businesses that provide a tangible service.
Right.
The buyers learn a system, they start a channel to document it, they become affiliates for the software tools they were taught to use, and then they start selling their own courses to the next wave of terrified beginners.
It is a closed circuit. They are literally selling the opportunity to sell the opportunity.
And this is where Thomas introduces the ultimate filter, which he calls the value test.
Okay, what is the value test?
If you want to know if an AI business is real or if it's just part of the loop, you have to ask a very specific question. What real-world problem does this solve, and who is experiencing that problem?
That's a great question.
If the answer is simply people want to learn how to make money, and this teaches them how, you are inside the loop.
It has to solve a problem that someone would pay for, regardless of whether AI was involved.
Exactly.
Which brings us back to Sarah, because her story is the perfect antidote to the Carnival game. And we really need to look at exactly what she did. I mean, she didn't buy the expensive course. She didn't launch a faceless channel.
No, Sarah represents the quiet, actual revolution of AI. As a hospital administrator, her days were consumed by incredibly tedious bottlenecks.
Right.
One of her major tasks was digesting massive 40-page compliance and policy updates sent down by the legal department and figuring out how they impacted the nursing staff.
Which takes hours of reading and synthesizing.
Hours. So Sarah quietly starts experimenting with a secure AI language model provided by her hospital's enterprise suite. Instead of spending her entire Tuesday reading legalese, she feeds the PDF into the AI.
No.
And she uses a very specific prompt. She says, act as a medical administration expert. Read this compliance update. Extract the three new protocols that specifically affect floor nurses. Draft a plain language bullet point email summarizing these changes, ensuring a supportive tone.
Oh, that's smart. And the AI does the heavy lifting of synthesis.
In 30 seconds, it produces a highly accurate, easy-to-read draft. Sarah spends maybe 15 minutes reviewing it, tweaking the tone to match her personal style, and verifying the facts against the original document.
Wow.
She just turned a 4-hour task into a 20-minute task, and she uses the save time to actually go down to the floor and talk to the staff about their operational needs.
She's using the technology to eliminate the friction in her actual existing job.
Exactly. And she didn't stop there. She used it to draft difficult emails, to frustrated vendors, to format confusing shift schedules into readable tables, to generate first drafts of meeting agendas. She solved real, boring, necessary problems.
And the outcome for her is so grounded. She didn't become a millionaire overnight, obviously.
No.
But 6 months later, her manager noticed that her department was running smoother, communication was clearer, and she had more time for strategic planning. So she received an early salary review and a substantial raise.
Now, nobody's going to make a viral TikTok video about an early salary review in a hospital administration.
Right. It's not sexy.
It doesn't have the flash of a Stripe screenshot, but Sarah's value is durable. It isn't depending on a hype cycle or an algorithm. She passed the value test.
AI was just the tool she used to deliver a better human result. And interestingly, Mark eventually figures this out too, doesn't he?
He does. Mark realizes that running the Carnival booth feels hollow. So he pivots his coaching business entirely. He stops selling the passive income dream to vulnerable beginners.
Good for him.
Instead, he starts approaching real local small businesses like landscaping companies and independent accountants.
Businesses that have actual problems.
Yes. He charges them a consulting fee to set up custom AI workflows to automate their invoice reminders, summarize their client intake forms, manage their scheduling.
Wow.
He shifts completely from selling the dream to selling real, measurable value.
And here is where the entire narrative comes full circle in the most satisfying way.
Yeah.
Patrick Thomas, the author of this 2026 booklet, who is deconstructing this entire gold rush.
Yeah.
He is doing exactly what he preaches.
Oh, he is the embodiment of his own advice.
He is a facilities manager.
Yeah.
He uses AI for practical logistics and building maintenance. And he writes these guides to help other everyday workers use the tools practically.
Operating completely outside the hype loop.
Completely outside. He isn't selling a course on how to sell a course. He's just selling a high-quality shovel to people who actually have a ditch that needs digging.
Which proves the ultimate point of his work, really. The technology is absolutely real, and it is incredibly powerful. The issue is not the artificial intelligence itself. The issue is the mirage built on top of it by people exploiting human psychology.
So to summarize the landscape for you listening today, the AI gold rush you see in your social media feed is largely a manufactured reality. It is propped up by survivorship bias, where the massive graveyard of failed attempts is structurally hidden.
It relies on the psychological double bind of weaponizing your hope for wealth and your fear of obsolescence.
Right. And it sustains itself through an endless opportunity loop of people selling the idea of wealth rather than creating it. The technology works, but that pristine home office you see on camera is usually just a Hollywood set.
Which leaves us with a really profound shift in perspective to consider. We know these AI tools are fantastic at automating administrative tasks, synthesizing massive amounts of data, generating code.
Yeah, they're amazing at it.
Its greatest current utility is making human thinking more efficient so we can solve real-world problems faster.
But if everyone eventually has access to these exact same powerful automated tools, What happens when the dust settles and the novelty wears off?
It creates a fascinating paradox for the future of work. When digital automation becomes cheap, flawless, and ubiquitous, what actually retains value?
That's the billion-dollar question.
Perhaps the ultimate, most lucrative skill of the next decade won't be knowing how to automate every single process. It might be knowing exactly where human friction, genuine empathy, and unautomated original thought are so rare that the market will pay a massive premium just to experience them.
Imagine that. In a world where absolutely everything can be automated, the most valuable and rare asset you can offer is just being undeniably human. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the AI gold rush. As you navigate these incredible new tools, stay curious about their potential, their critical, the promises, and the next time you see that pristine home office and a dashboard full of numbers, make sure you look for the shovel sellers.